From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Reginald Hardwick. Dialogue is an exchange about culture straight from the soul. In late April, Illinois Public Media continued our News, Brews, and Beats discussion. This time, the focus was on the state of Champaign-Urbana through the lens of key Black leadership. We talked with a pastor, a local school superintendent, business owner, and police chief. A note, this hour-long discussion was taped before an audience in the IPM studios. Because Dialogue is shorter than an hour, we invite you to view the whole thing on the Illinois Public Media YouTube channel. Now, let's get to our first conversation. Tracy Parsons of the City of Champaign is my co-moderator. And our panel included Champaign's Joe Stovall, owner of a State Farm insurance company, and Dr. Jennifer Ivory Tatum, superintendent of Urbana School District 116. We started by asking Dr. Ivory Tatum to give us a snapshot of the Black families she works with at Urbana Public Schools.
It is a struggle, especially in Urbana. Our community has changed significantly, the demographic, in the last several years, at least in the last 16, 17 years that I've been there. Our community is high poverty. 75% of our community right now is considered free or reduced lunch or low income, which is a challenge. Another issue that we're dealing with is some of the violence in the community. I know that's been an initiative through the coalition. I think we've for years, had the conversations around how do we address that through the family, how do we address it through schools, how do we impact it through neighborhoods. And right now, I don't know that a lot of the things that we've been doing are working. I think we've seen some of the decreases, but we continue to lose young lives. And what I would like us to focus on as a community, not just the education arm, because we can't do it all in schools. I say all the time, we have our students from 8 to 3, and we can only do so much during that time period because they still go back home to their home life. They go back to the neighborhoods where they are. So we can impact what we can. But right now, it feels like, and Tracy said this recently in a group that we were in, talking about some of our challenges in Urbana. What's happening right now is the community is leaving it up to schools to figure out all the issues, and we can't. We need faith, we need our pastors, we need our city government, we need just everyone, our politicians, just all of us to sit down and figure out what can we do to address some of the issues that are not just violence related, it's education related, it is, you know, unemployment, it is health and wellness, mental health. We see more mental health issues in our young people today than we ever have before. And I know there's some of those leftover impacts from the pandemic, but we're years out from that now. And we need to be figuring out some solution-oriented things. We can't continue to kind of blame everything on COVID. We did that for a year or two, and now we need to come out of that and say, okay, here's where we are, and look forward to where we need to be. And as an education arm, we can't do that without our whole community helping us. Our students need mentors. They need opportunities. They need jobs. They need things to look forward to. And we're doing what we can as a district to provide those pathways. We've been talking a lot about careers and trades and continuing to encourage students to go to college and making sure that they know you can go to college, but we know there's some that are not and don't want to. But our goal right now is to make sure every single one of our students graduates, and they graduate with the ability to provide a living wage for their family, whatever that might be. And unfortunately, the students that we're seeing that are struggling the most are our Black students. They're struggling the most with discipline, behavior in the classroom. They're struggling the most with absenteeism. We talked about this a lot. We cannot impact change if our kids are not in school. And so that's something that we need to address with families so they understand the importance of your child needs to be there every day. I know that's a lot, but there are a lot of challenges.
Yeah, no, but you're hitting, it's right on point, right?
Yeah.
Because again, as we talk about the complexity of these issues, right? And what I said the other day that I think is so relevant is that we're putting the burden on the schools to solve all the societal issues, right? And so it comes in, but that is the space also
sure.
where we have our students, where you have them for a concentrated amount of time with reduction or restriction in what you really can do. Again, once they leave, once they're back in the community, once they're in their neighborhood, you know, I was talking with a group of students, you know, it's been a year or so ago, and it just alarmed me as the students were talking about carrying guns, right? It brought a tear to my eyes because it was, as the students were talking, they get up, they get their backpacks, they're looking for their books, they got to find their gun before they leave the house, right? And that's just an alarming way for our kids to be thinking, functioning, and operating, that for protection they think they need a piece, right? And so to have that. Joe, you offer a kind of a unique lens, right? As a person who grew up here, person who left the community then came back. That doesn't happen a lot here in our community. Folks grow up thinking, oh, I got to leave Champaign-Urbana to have success in life and do all those things. But you're a business owner. You're involved in the community in a number of different ways. How do you operate in the community? What is what you're trying to bring to the community from the multiple lenses that you operate in? How do you chart your path, or however you're trying to influence community activities, learning? Talk to us about your approach.
Well, it's twofold. Number one, I try to use what was brought to me as a young man in the neighborhood in the 60s and 70s. If you think about that time period, civil rights movement was strong. Black unity was strong. I lived right around the corner from what I consider Black Wall Street in Champaign on First Street. So I got to see a lot of positive images growing up. I had a lot of positive Black men in my life, from my father to the Boys and Girls Club to, you know, just folks in the neighborhood. So I absorbed all that at an early age. When I came back, I wanted to bring that back, but also obviously with some new ideas. You know, we've talked before about youth development, and you talked about organizations and what their responsibilities are. I think back when I was a kid, the organizations were an extension of family. So the standards were set at home, and the organizations continued that when you were there. The issue now is that we have multiple standards in multiple areas, so there's no consistency. So what I try to do myself personally is do more listening than the tell and sell that a lot of people like to do in terms of directing energy towards kids, because I think one of the things I found in terms of youth development, kids are way more sophisticated now than they were when we were growing up. They also are inundated with more information than we were when we were growing up. There were filters when we were growing up. Certain things were not exposed to us when you were in elementary school. Certain things weren't exposed to you in junior high, and so on. Today, because of technology and specifically social media, kids are inundated daily with information that we can't comprehend. Our job, I think, is A, to be listeners, and B, to be guiders, meaning we'll be the rudder for them. We'll be the sail on their ship, because a lot of them are trying to get to the same destination that we were trying to get to as kids from A to B. The problem is the different barriers that are in front of them. I think the other thing in terms of navigation, we've got to remember a lot of these issues that are being faced today didn't happen yesterday. They didn't happen 4 years ago. This has been decades in the making. And now the children are now responding to those things. And what we have to do, A, like I said, listen, but B, say, here are some alternatives to it. And understand that maybe when we were growing up, we didn't have these issues. So we got to be able to say, I don't know, but I do understand.
I like that.
Do you have an example of what you do in your organization to help steer youth?
Well, I work with First String, and we've been at Douglas Park for 33 years. The purpose of First String, when it was brought together back in 1993, was to bring life back into Douglas Park and bring activity back into Douglas Park. More importantly, what we were trying to do is introduce children to adults and to also introduce children to family members. There are kids out there who have multiple relatives in the community that they may not even know. So by bringing them into the park, we use sports as the vehicle. But that's not the end all be all. All sports is to allow them to escape the environment and then surround them with adults and other responsible citizens within the community so they can just be kids for a day, be kids for a week, for a month. Because what we're trying to do is get them to adulthood without having to deal with some of these challenges. We started our basketball program in First String 25 years ago. It started because when we were going up to the park, kids were outside in February playing basketball in the snow. But why were they doing that? Because the economic challenges of going to an open gym, you have to pay to go into the gym. Mm-hmm. So we took the same philosophy we had with our baseball program, created the basketball program. This year we serviced probably about 200 kids, K through 6 in Douglas. We got kids coming as far as Philo to our basketball program. They're coming because of what? They want to play against good competition. Mm-hmm. We're setting this up because we want kids in a safe space.
You're listening to Dialogue from Illinois Soul. I'm Reginald Hardwick, and we are revisiting our latest News, Brews, and Beats in-person discussion about the state of Champaign-Urbana through the lens of key Black leadership. Our first panel included Champaign's Joe Stovall, owner of a State Farm insurance agency, and Dr. Jennifer Ivory Tatum, superintendent of Urbana School District 116. Let's pick up the conversation with co-moderator Tracy Parsons from the City of Champaign, asking Stovall and Tatum to discuss what is unique about Champaign-Urbana.
Well, I can tell you this firsthand, just from all of the listening sessions that I've been in for the last few months, every single person that has come or filled out a survey for us or talked in a focus group have talked about the diversity of our community. And that isn't just the Black community. I think that's our community at large. That we are in a very unique community. We have people here from all over the world, which is wonderful for our young people. Our young people need to go to school and see that there are people that are different from them, that don't look like them and don't have the same culture and speak the same language. So that, I think, is a really unique thing that we have here, being so close to the University of Illinois. A lot of people don't realize this, but a lot of our Black youth especially don't leave their community very often. So a lot of times when you're in schools and they're rubbing shoulders with kids saying, oh, I went to Disneyland or I went to Florida, we did all these things. Well, a lot of our students on breaks are in their neighborhood. They don't go any further than Champaign-Urbana, maybe Rantoul, maybe Chicago. And so giving them the opportunity to see other youth, and what we're doing right now is trying to get them out of their neighborhoods and into the community as much as we can. We have a program called See You Around Town, and we take a lot of our young elementary students. We take them to the University of Illinois, to the iExplore program, but we take them to different places, and we have they go to the university and they think, we were talking to some young people not long ago who thought the University of Illinois was the football team, or they think it's just sports, because we get to take them to those activities and the university is so wonderful in sharing that opportunity, but they need to be going into the science labs and the fab lab and seeing scientists in action and seeing our Black professors teaching in some of the spaces that we have on campus. And so it is a unique environment, but what we need to do more is expose more of our young people to all the things that our community has to offer, because it does have a lot to offer them.
Stovall. Three communities in one. We have the University of Illinois. We have the folks who have been transplanted here. And then the term that I hate, but for the sake of the conversation, is townies. Mm-hmm. And probably the uniqueness of that is, if you have not had an opportunity to move them out in all three communities, there's a lot of things you're missing. And this division has been there for decades. I think Jennifer talked earlier about our youth being exposed to different things. That's one of the areas that I think changes. Access and opportunity is always what I try to say. Mm-hmm. Is if you give people access and opportunity, you may not have equal outcomes, but you'll have equal opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a world-class university that I grew up six blocks from. And most of us in the community didn't even go to school there. And I think, one of the things the university has to do is a better job of being engaged in the community as a land-grant university. Mm. They treat us like lab rats, meaning that they research us, and then they leave. And there are a lot of unique, intelligent, bright, articulate people in this community who've been overshadowed because of that. The other thing that happens is that the transplanted community, they come to Champaign-Urbana, they're not introduced to the Black community. They may be here anywhere from 2 to 5 years, and because they've not been introduced, they leave. not understanding the rich culture that's here within the community. So I think what I would love to see is somehow a diverse group of people be put together as a, basically as a welcoming committee. So when folks come to the community, they get introduced to the community so that they can understand that the community just isn't south of University Avenue or not west of Prospect Avenue or not east of Goodwin. There is a whole thriving community here, some great people, some great businesses, great churches, great organizations, but they have to be introduced to it so that they'll stay here.
What gives the two of you hope? And Joe, we could start with you.
Oh, what gives me hope is what I just described. This community is great. Mm-hmm. We've got some great people here. The opportunity that I got to have in this community growing up on the north end of Champaign, going through Booker T. Washington, which at the time, when I went to Booker T. the year before, it was 98% African-American. The next year, it was turned into a magnet school right in the heart of the black community. We had the first computer system in the United States in Plato put into that school. And so it gave me an opportunity from an educational standpoint to see and do things that a lot of kids didn't get before. So for myself personally, that's where my hope comes from, is that I got to live it and I get to see it. There are great people who we've been with for decades who are doing great things, but it's just what they do every day and it's not publicized. So because it's not publicized, the old saying about in the news, if it bleeds, it leads. If we got an opportunity to flip that, to really spotlight all the things that were going on in this community, a lot of this conversation would change. And I think once we start highlighting and giving opportunities like tonight's show to be able to talk and express what we're doing out in the community, I think we'll see this cruise ship turn and we'll start going out into deeper waters and much more fun will be had by all.
Mm-hmm. So what gives me hope is we have some amazing families. We have amazing students. We have some black kids who have it going on and are doing a lot of really great things, but we need to have more of that. And so I've been spending a lot of time with the students at our high school as we talk about our new plan and getting their voice. Our young people have a lot to say. And our high, like the groups that you work with, our young people have a lot to say about how we're teaching them, what they are learning from us, what kind of sense of belonging that they have, not just around their learning, but their community. Mm-hmm. And so just the hope that I see in our high school youth right now that are really taking the lead in terms of service, in terms of pride for our community. But we just need that to trickle down our young people, our younger people. Right now, I am hopeful for all the people that are sitting in this audience. There are a lot of people here who wear a lot of different hats. And I know as a community, we need to tap into all of us, all of our knowledge, all of our wisdom, all of our experience, to be able to wrap around our young black teen moms, our single moms who are raising, you know, two or three young black boys by themselves, grandmas. We have a lot of grandmothers who are raising their grandbabies and they need help. And so I'm hopeful that I know as a community we can shift the tide. And you know that phrase, the rising tide lifts all ships. We need our students to rise and we need our community to help us do it. But I have a lot of faith and hope that we can do that with just the knowledge in this room and the folks who have stepped up to say, I will make a difference and I will be present and I'll do what I can to help rise the tide for everybody, because that's what we need to do right now.
You're listening to Dialogue from Illinois Soul. I'm Reginald Hardwick. We're revisiting our latest News, Brews, and Beats in-person discussion about the state of Champaign-Urbana through the lens of key black leadership. Co-moderator Tracy Parsons and I talked with Champaign's Joe Stovall and Dr. Jennifer Ivory Tatum, superintendent of Urbana School District 116. When we come back, the conversation gets candid with a pastor and a police chief.
Where is the black leadership? If you want to be in leadership positions, you're going to have to say and do hard stuff.
Stay tuned for more Dialogue from Illinois Soul right after this break.